big question in business, where does the most recent ruling on President Obama's health care overhaul leave us?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. A federal judge in Florida late yesterday said the mandate in the nation's new health care law that requires Americans to buy health insurance is unconstitutional. Now, that mandate is a big part of how the law is paid for. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The insurance mandate goes hand in hand with another provision of the health care law, that health insurers can't turn anyone away because of a pre-existing condition. Both provisions go into effect in 2014. Health economists say the mandate would put more healthy people in the insurance pool to balance out sick people who need more care. Deborah Cholet is a health care economist at Mathematica Policy Research. She says the mandate would stabilize the insurance market.
Because you don't have what we call hit and run enrollees, that is, people enroll when they're sick and they disenroll once they've gotten the care that they needed.
Duke University health economist Barack Richmond says the mandate is also key to driving down health care costs because people with insurance are much more likely to get preventive care.
It's much more cost effective to prevent illness than to treat illness.
The last word on the mandate will not come from economists. Ultimately, the issue will be decided in the Supreme Court. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Tens of thousands of protesters in Egypt are once again in the streets demonstrating against the government there, unhappy with the country's high unemployment and everyday food prices. For example, the price of wheat to make bread is now near record highs. Marketplace's Scott Tong is with us live from our Washington studio with the latest. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Steve.
Let's connect the dots here, shall we? Are these anti-government protests connected to these food prices?
It's one of the many frustrations on the street, especially for poor families that spend half their income on food in Egypt. And historically, food prices have been a trigger. Egypt saw bread riots in the late 70s, in 2008, when global food prices peaked. And you might be surprised to learn that food prices helped spark the protests in China in 1989 in Tiananmen Square. So right now, as you say, wheat prices are up. And governments in the region are now stocking up to make sure they can feed their people. It's not just Egypt. Algeria, Jordan, Saudi Arabia. A few minutes ago, I spoke to economist Javier Diaz Jimenez at the University of Navarra in Madrid.
Some of this stockpiling and hoarding always happens when governments think prices are going to go up. So it was unfortunate that this political and social unrest happened exactly at the time when food prices were spiking, and they feed on each other.
It sounds like, Scott, he thinks food prices will go even higher. Is that right?
Well, the UN officials say this may not be the peak. And just a few hours ago in Geneva, an executive at the grain trading company Cargill spoke of more stockpiling in North Africa, so they could go up.
All right. Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. Scott, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. European and Asian shares are higher at the moment, about 1%. Delivery giant UPS said its profits surged by more than 40% last quarter. UPS is a bellwether for the economy. More shipping means more buying. If you're flying today, well, Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, one of the nation's largest, is closed because of an ice storm, at least for the next few hours. That's a big American Airlines hub. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 68 points to close at 11,891.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
It costs more than a penny to make and distribute a penny. Still, congressional efforts to scrap the one-cent coin have failed so far. Canada has tackled the same issue for years. They have the penny, of course. And now the Canadian Senate Finance Committee may scrap their coins. Marketplace's Sean Cole explains.
After extensive hearings over the last year and a lofty statement from Deputy Chairman Irving Gerstein,
many scholars and commentators have suggested that the penny is, in fact, a piece of currency that lacks currency.
The Canadian Senate Finance Committee finally released a report saying the penny should be called in. The majority of Canadians are sick of it. It's cumbersome, and it costs a penny and a half to get one into my hand. Still, the Mint makes half a billion of them a year.
We have 20 billion pennies in circulation,
which, laid end to end, would stretch
more than 9.5 times around the equator.
So, let's stop minting pennies, stop circulating them a year later, and then 2 years later, retailers would stop accepting them. That's the gist of the report. You could still redeem them at the Bank of Canada forever.
I see them on the ground. I'll pick up a penny.
You will.
I will.
How ironic.
Senator Joseph Day is chairman of the Finance Committee.
It's still legal tender.
Until you're done with it.
I asked him what happens to all of the pennies after everyone cashes them in.
The banks send them back to the mint, and the mint will melt them down again and sell that metal off.
Sell it back to America so that they can make American pennies out of it.
I think America's not far behind Canada.
Dude, I don't know about that.
Yes, I called a Canadian senator dude. Because America's been rolling out four new designs of the Lincoln penny for Honest Abe's 2009 bicentennial.
The Royal Canadian Mint hasn't done that with the Canadian coin. We have seen 90 years of the same design.
Steve Woodland is with the Royal Canadian Numismatic Association. Numismatics?
The study of the art and science of money.
He testified before the committee last year, saying he hopes the Mint will still make a bunch of one-cent coins every year to sell to collectors.
If they don't do that, it's not the end of the world. There will be something else to collect. You switch from the one-cent coin to the five-cent coin to whatever.
But all of this is assuming Canada's finance minister puts the report into practice. His office would only say he's still reviewing it. In Toronto, I'm Sean Cole for Marketplace.
And finally, from pennies to potatoes. Invasive air potatoes, which are a big problem in Florida. The big thorny vines that grow spud-like vegetation threaten native trees there. The state used to shell out a lot of money for professionals to get rid of them, but budget cuts mashed those efforts. So last weekend, thousands of volunteers got together in forests around Gainesville to weed them out. The 12th annual Great Air Potato Roundup brought college students, residents, and Cub Scouts alike to attack the killer potatoes. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
How much soy does it take to build the inside of a car?
So Ford is currently saving about 3 million pounds of petroleum each and every year by using soy instead of petroleum.
I'm Bob Moon. Cup holders and car seats get a green makeover next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.